Hello, my comfy, cozy, witchy friends, and welcome to episode number 54 of the Comfy, Cozy Witch podcast with me, Jenny Blonde, the Comfy, Cozy Witch. And as usual, thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm really excited to be back and to be recording this because I'm excited to talk all about crystal magic today, a topic that surprisingly I haven't really covered or chatted about over the last, 3.5, 4 years. And, you know, I've been working more with crystals in my practice and working more deeply with them. So I thought that this would be a good time to do an episode all about crystal witchcraft and crystal magic. But before we get into that, I want to share with you what is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. I do want to say first, thank you all to my Patreon subscribers for all of your support of the podcast and for being there in Patreon and just cheerleading me and the business and the podcast. And a special shout out to all of my Mugwort level subscribers for your kind patronage to the Comfy Cozy Witch and to me and to the podcast. It means more than you know. And if you are interested in joining Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/comfycozywitch. So spring has officially arrived, and with it, like every spring in April, it is raining. It's pouring down rain. It has been raining the last few days on and off. And we are not supposed to get a break here in eastern Pennsylvania until I believe it's Friday. And as I record this, it is Tuesday morning and it is absolutely pouring and just chilly and damp outside. But it doesn't matter because pops of spring are starting to show. I've loved just driving through town, walking through the neighborhood and seeing the daffodils start to come up, the hyacinths, and it has just really made my witchy heart happy to see these little blooms of spring showing up. But although, yes, spring does make me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy, that is not what I'm going to talk about this segment because something happened, was it last week? No, 2 weeks ago that just was all of those things, comfy, cozy, and truly magical. And so let me just start by saying I have been now in my apothecary for almost 10 months, which is hard to believe, and it has been amazing. And something that I had talked about since the beginning of opening the apothecary was being able to offer services here at the shop. And I'm going to tell you something. You listeners are the first to hear what I'm about to tell you. I haven't told anyone about this yet, other than, you know, the people who know my family members and friends here in town. But, excuse me, I have been looking for space to offer comfy, cozy, magical services. So space for energy healing, for one-on-one collaborations and workshops, for guided meditation space, for Reiki healing. Oh, I think I said that. Energy healing, crystal therapy, massage therapy, because I would love the apothecary to not just be items that you can purchase to enhance your magical practice. I also want to be able to offer services. So when people come, they can have, yes, services, gifts, goods, tools that nourish their mind, body, home, and spirit. And what I don't offer right now are services. Yes, I do my workshops. I'll continue to do my workshops, my make and take events, but I have been wanting to offer more magical services. And this has been in the works since I opened. I've been wanting to do this, but my shop is small. I don't have a ton of space. And so, yes, I've been looking elsewhere. I've been looking at other spaces in the community, in the neighboring areas, and I just, you know, haven't been able to find one that suits my needs. And that's fine because I'm in no rush. I'm in no rush, and I have been in no rush to do this. However, last week, and I'm going to talk more about this a little bit later, but last week I had a tarot reading done for me. And I also had an astrology reading done. And it was the perfect time, the beginning of spring. It was right after the spring equinox. I decided to have this reading. And the readings were actually kind of interviews for podcast sponsors, because as you know, I will not have sponsors on the podcast unless I have vetted their either services, products, what have you first, because I want to make sure whatever I bring to all of you, whatever I bring to my audience is something that resonates with me, that's something I'm on board with and that feels authentic and natural. And so all of this to say, I had a tarot reading done. And this was the morning after, or no, two mornings after I had looked at another potential space, but ultimately decided, no, this just isn't the right fit. I need to make something else work. So I had this tarot reading and I didn't give any information to the reader. I just told her that I just need some guidance with business, a potential business expansion decision, what have you. So I had this reading done, and you're going to laugh. I was sitting in Panera Bread as I had the reading done. I had my AirPods in, excuse me, and it was a virtual reading, a virtual live reading. I had my AirPods in because I couldn't make it home in time to jump on Zoom for the reading. So I just sat there, popped them in. There was like nobody in the restaurant, so it worked out perfectly. And in a nutshell, the reader did this beautiful, beautiful spread. I was able to choose the deck from which she pulled cards. And she put together this lovely spread and talked to my business and talked about my question, my possible expansion. And basically, in a nutshell, it said, she said, or in the card said, spirit said, move. You have everything you need to move forward. Like, you're moving in the right direction. You already have everything you need to move forward with this. And there were some other things, but overall, that's the general message that I got. And I left Panera Bread to come to work, to come to the shop. And the whole ride, I'm thinking, I have everything I need. Like, what? My shop, I feel small. Like, I don't have enough room to do these things. But I got to the shop and I have, if you've been to my shop or you've seen it in videos, you know, I have the front room. There's one room, and then I have like a little wall with a window cut out that divides it into the next room, a second room where I have even more magical gifts and goods and tools. And the second room is where I have all of the books and the oracle decks that you can sample. And then down a hallway, there's a door to a large storage room. And inside the large room is another door to what I call my kitchen area. It's just a mini fridge and a table and then more storage area. So I walked back into the storage room and I'm looking around at all of the inventory, the overflow inventory that I have back there, or inventory, you know, just to bring out onto the floor. And that room is a mess. I mean, it is beyond a mess. It was a mess. So I had this reading in my mind, everything I have, it's already with me. I'm going through this back room and I realize, man, this is a big room. It's like 9.5 by 16 feet. And I could consolidate the storage, break this room in half and have a small room for a healing space. So I stood back there for a little while thinking, okay, this can be done. Then I sat in the chair in the corner in my second room where my books are. And I looked at the space and I thought, you know what? I could easily move shelves out of the way and do small guided meditations here, small energy workshops and witchcraft workshops with like 6 to 10 people. And I have had workshops with 10 people before, so I knew it was doable, but I wanted to make sure that people could comfortably sit on the ground if I do some guided meditations for the Sabbats. And I thought, I can make this work. This space will work. I went back into my back storage room one more time and thought, I can make a separate room. If we put up a wall here, throw in a door, I do have all the tools here. I can make a small space, a small healing space. So I walked out all excited. I actually texted my husband and said, hey, call me when you have a break at work. I have a great idea about the apothecary. I don't need to look anywhere else. And I was excited. I felt like it was all coming together. And then I see this young woman outside. I had opened my shop at this time because it was a little afternoon. I see a woman outside looking at the sign, the like tented sign outside my shop. Then she looked at the window, looked at the sign again, and I saw her kind of way coming in, and then she decided to come in. And I introduced myself. I said, welcome to the Comfy Cozy Apothecary. As usual, I'll say, you know, what brings you in today? And she said, I didn't know you were here, but I feel like this is a place where I need to be right now. And I said, okay. And she said, my name is, and she gave me her name, and I haven't talked to her, so I don't want to share her name publicly on the podcast, but she gave me her name, and she said, and I have been a massage therapist now for a few months, and I'm just looking for someone to take a chance on me and let me, you know, rent out some space or have some space to do some of my healing, my massage healing. I mean, if that was not my guides, spirit, goddess, what have you, saying, Jenny, this is it. This is what I'm talking about. You do have all the resources in front of you. You already have it. If that wasn't it, I didn't need a clearer message. And so I talked to her for a little bit. We got to chatting. And I said, you know, I would just need these things from you before we move forward. And it would be a couple of weeks because I'm just now determining how I can configure a space to have healers come in to work with customers. And excuse me. And she said, oh, well, I have everything you need in my car. I'll be right back. She came back in with a whole packet of everything. Her transcript from massage therapy school, AED, CPR, insurance information. She had a whole thick packet of everything. So we exchanged information. She went on her way. And, you know, the next day I still thought, this is just amazing. I had my husband come in. We did measurements, figuring out, okay, we can do this with this room. We're going to make this work. And I had a customer come in who actually, she's not just a customer. She's a friend, and she and her husband were in this apothecary space before me. It was her husband's engineering office that I took over. So not took over, you know what I mean. That's what this space was used for before my apothecary, before I came in. And so she came in, her name's Amy, because I know she wouldn't care that I share her first name. Amy came in and I told her what happened the day before. I said, you're not going to believe this. I had a tarot reading. I walked into the shop, realized I think I can make this work. And then in walks a massage therapist who is looking for a space. You know, it all is meant to happen this way. I told her the girl's first name, and Amy said, oh, does she look like this? Does she have, you know, bangs, dark hair? I said, yeah. And she said, I know her. She goes, she sings at my church. She has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And so I thought, wow, she knows her. Amy is someone I trust. She knows this girl. Long story short, she hadn't seen this girl sing for a while. She hasn't been in church, I guess, for a number of months. And what do you know? Sunday morning, Amy text messages me and says, hey, guess what? She's here today. She's singing. What are the chances? So again, you know, I don't know that I will have her as a massage therapist here at the shop, but that was a sign that I needed. And clearly, I hadn't been paying enough attention to signs because it took boom, 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 three things happening in one day for me to finally realize, oh, I can make this happen here and I'm going to move forward with it. So, all that to say, I am moving forward with this. So, surprise to those of you, especially who are local and listen to the podcast, there will be a healing space here at the Comfy Cozy Apothecary. I will be doing some work. My plan is to have others come in as well. And it will be now in my old kitchen, which has a window, ventilation. Oh, it's a beautiful space. And today, in 45 minutes, I'm having my handyman is coming to start prepping the walls to be painted. And I have some things ordered for the walls. I'll have the bed coming soon, and I am just beyond excited. And so I'm so glad, you know, I had that reading and that I paid attention. Well, actually, I shouldn't say I was paying enough attention to signs. These signs just smacked me in the face. Let's be real. They smacked me in the face, and things are happening. Things are moving forward. So I know that was a long story, like 15 minutes, but I just had to share it with all of you because I'm so excited. And if you're ever in town, you know, stop by so you can see the space. I'm hoping that I can open it up by the middle of April to just share with people. Even if I'm not offering any energy healings at the time, it'll just be nice to have the space here in the apothecary. So that currently is what is making me feel comfy, cozy, and witchy. All right, you know how I mentioned I had the tarot reader. I had the tarot reading that kind of led me to the next steps of having this healing space in the apothecary. Well, I am really excited to have partnered with that reader along with an astrologer. And together, these two lovely ladies are known as Autumn Mystics, and they are sponsoring this podcast episode. So they can be found at autumnmystics.com, and you can book a tarot reading or numerology reading or astrological reading with either Elle or Kate. This episode just going to talk quickly about the tarot, because clearly I talked about it earlier in the Comfy Cozy Witchy segment, but Kate does the tarot readings. She has been reading for over 10 years. She also offers numerology readings, and she just had such a beautiful spread and a beautiful way of reading for me, interpreting the cards, but also intuitively or leaning into her intuition during the reading. And so I would recommend, you know, checking out Autumn Mystics. They can be found again at www.autumnmystics.com, and you can book at autumnmystics.com/bookings. And I will have all of the information at the bottom of this podcast and the information about this episode. It really is hard to believe that I have been doing this podcast for so long and have yet to talk about crystal magic and crystals. And so I just want to give a quick overview today of crystal history, different types of crystals and gemstones, what to think about when you're buying them, caring for crystals, a little bit about crystal healing and crystal divination. So let's get into all things crystals. So crystals have been a part of human history for centuries, clearly, because they have been growing in the earth since the earth has been around. And the fascination with these naturally occurring structures goes well beyond their aesthetic appeal, which, hello, we all appreciate, but it also extends to a variety of cultures and belief systems in ancient civilizations. The earliest recorded use of crystals dates back to ancient civilizations, like I said, where they were valued for their healing properties, but also for their spiritual properties. In ancient Egypt, quartz crystals and rubies were used in jewelry, and they were used in amulets for protection, for health, fertility, for positive energy. And we know that when people passed on, they were buried with those amulets and with those crystals and gemstones, fine gemstones on them. In ancient China, crystals were used in traditional medicine in restoring balance in the body, and they're continued to be used today. In ancient Greece, we have seen references to crystals in the works of some of the greatest philosophers like Plato, Aristotle. And the Greeks also believed that crystals enhance our innate power and also help connect us to the divine and to our own divinity. And then this continued to the ancient Romans and their use of crystals, which adorned both jewelry and everyday items. During the Middle Ages, crystal use became intertwined with alchemy and magical practices, which I think is so fun. And here they were used for healing. They were also used for enlightenment. While the Renaissance period saw the beginnings of crystallography, which is, and the scientific understanding of crystals. So it went beyond just the spiritual understanding, but a scientific geological understanding of crystals and how they're formed. And then it wasn't until the 18th and 19th centuries where crystals started to be classified and the atomic structures of stones and minerals, crystals, gemstones, semi-precious gems, what have you, they were studied. And then, of course, the 20th century brought the integration of crystals into technology like radio transmission, computers, the cell phones that we have in our hands daily, the cell phone that I am recording this podcast on right now. And today, crystals, of course, continue to captivate scientists, artists, those in the spiritual space, and help bridge together the realms of science and mysticism. And when it comes to my practice, I've always had crystals and used them in some way, shape, or form. And as I said, recently I've begun to work more deeply with crystals in my practice and really understanding the energetic healing qualities of a variety of crystals, not just the basic crystals that might align with chakras and different systems of the body, as I have always learned about them. Because, I mean, when I think back, 2017, 18 is the first time, the first of a few times that I took coursework in crystal healing. But I feel like I'm just learning more and more every single year and getting in touch with a much wider variety of crystals, especially now that I've opened the apothecary. As I said before, you know, I'm taking more in-depth coursework to not just understand the healing modalities when it comes to working with crystals and how I can use crystals in my magical practice to enhance spell work, to enhance intentions, but to also understand the geological aspects of crystals. So I want to talk now about your types, the shapes of crystals that you encounter and what they can do for us spiritually. So, of course, we have spheres. We know what spheres are. They're the smooth, rounded, spherical crystals, and they're used to help radiate energy uniformly in all directions. So when you have a crystal sphere, the energy of that crystal is radiating in all directions because it's round. It's a sphere. Often spheres are used for meditation and for scrying, you know, when you're looking into the smooth surfaces, because that allows for reflection. So crystal scrying with black obsidian or even a crystal ball, you know, you think of like, ooh, reading fortune telling in a crystal ball. That's crystal scrying that happens on crystals, clearly. Scrying also happens on mirrors and in black mirrors, but Oftentimes, people do use larger spheres for scrying in their practice because this allows, again, for that reflective focus. Excuse me. And so we have spheres. We also have clusters. I really like clusters of crystals. That's when you have multiple crystal points growing together and they form a little crystal cluster. I like clusters because they're great at amplifying the energy of individual crystals, but they're also excellent at enhancing the energy of a space because there are so many different points that are spread out among the cluster. And clusters promote harmony. They promote collaborative work because you have all of these small stones working together in a single cluster. So when you're working with crystal clusters, they are good for collaboration, for cleansing environments, for promoting harmony, to enhancing the energy of a space. We also have towers, of course. The towers are tall, pointed crystals that have a broader base and a narrower termination where it comes to a point. So these towers and obelisks are associated with directing and amplifying energy from the point. So when you need more direct energy and a lot of power, a lot of energy, you would point the point of the crystal toward whatever you need to enhance. So these towers are used for intention setting, for meditation, for decoration. I like to use the towers or points as a centerpiece to a grid, if you're doing a crystal grid, because that takes all of the energy and directs it upward, like in the center. It is enhancing that power in the middle of the crystal grid. Next, of course, we have tumbles, and they are small, polished, rounded, typically like rounded on edges crystals. They can be in irregular shapes, of course, because it's unpolished crystals that are then thrown into like a rock tumbler with sand and other abrasive material to make them polished. Because of their size, I think tumbles are great just for carrying around on you. They're great to put in any sachets, any healing packets, packet spells, healing spells in a little pouch. They're also great because you can just throw them in your pocket, in your bra. They're commonly used for healing as their smooth surface is comfortable for direct contact with the skin. And I want to talk a little bit about when it comes to types of crystals, raw crystals versus your polished or tumbled crystals. So for me, and this is me personally, this does not apply to everybody who works with crystals, but I find that the energy that comes off of raw stones is stronger than energy that comes off your smooth stones and your tumbles. And I think that's because when the crystals are raw, you're interacting with them in more of their natural state. They're before the tumbler has come in contact with them and other materials have come in contact with them. So I find when I need extra oomph, extra power to a spell, and let's say I'm doing a working where I want to bring in some joy, okay? Joy and confidence, and typically I'd work with citrine, but I really need some oomph, some power behind it. I will work with raw crystals. Now, if I'm doing like a subtle, nice type of healing work, I might use tumbled or a smooth crystal, but I do like the power behind raw stones. I will say this though, people who are very susceptible to energies of stones, they might want to stay away from some raw crystals. If for some reason you or someone you know just doesn't know how to kind of shield the energy or protect their energy, the raw crystals can sometimes be a little bit too much. And so they might want to reach for a tumble. So think about, that's something to think about when you are choosing crystals, you know, raw versus polished and the shape as well. Do you want a rounded crystal that kind of pushes energy all around it, or a cluster where it works collaboratively, or a point where you're directing specific energy. It's really up to what you're looking for. So when it comes to choosing crystals, it involves an intuitive process. And so I wanted to share some tips when you are selecting your crystals, because I encounter people buying crystals 5 days of the week, the 5 days that I'm open, and it really is your intuition. I have customers who come in here and are just like, oh my gosh, that crystal's pretty, I want it. And they know they have to have it. I have other customers who come in here and will hold multiple crystals in their hand to their heart to feel which one works for them. So it really is instinctual and about intuition. And so you want to pay attention to which crystals attract you visually or energetically. So you might also choose a crystal depending on your intention. So you'll want to define your purpose for find your purpose for obtaining a crystal. Are you seeking healing? Are you seeking clarity? Are you looking for some protection? Do you want to call in some angels or guides? Do you want to work with a specific deity? There are different intentions that relate to the different crystals. So again, crystals align with specific intentions, but also you have to think about what comes intuitively to you, because I might say, hey, black tourmaline and obsidian, those are my go-tos for protection. But you might find, oh, no, labradorite, that's my go-to, or tiger's eye for protection. You know, it could be different to anybody. But you do want to think about not only your intuition, but also your intentions. Something else to think about whenever you're looking or shopping for crystals is to research a little bit. Learn about the properties of crystals. Understand their metaphysical components and attributes, their association with the various chakras, their historical uses, their magical uses. This can also help in selecting the crystals. Of course, you also want to think about a physical connection. So when you're at a shop and you have, I'm going to just go with citrine again, because that's the stone I'm working with closely this year, I've shared with you all. But let's say it's citrine and they have raw citrine, polished citrine, tumbles of citrine, towers of citrine, clusters of citrine, and you don't know, you might want to hold the various crystals in your hand to feel its energy, to feel its texture. Notice any sensations or reactions you might have as you're holding the various types of X stone, citrine for me, in your hand. A personal connection often plays a significant role in choosing that right crystal for you. You also want to consider the colors and shapes, as I said before. Different colors correspond to various energy frequencies, to chakras. Just like when you think of the colors for candle magic, you'll want to think about colors when it comes to crystal magic. Specific shapes, again, may align to your specific intentions. Another thing that you might want to consider when choosing crystals is the chakra alignment. So your seven chakras are the seven energy systems within your body, and they go from the top of your head at your crown and run down to your root, which is at the base of the spine. And you can choose crystals that correspond to the energy centers you wish to balance or you wish to open up. So for example, amethyst is associated with both the crown chakra and the third eye chakra. So if you feel like you need to open up your intuition and open up to messages from your deities and spirit, you might want to work with an amethyst for those particular chakras. Rose quartz works with your heart chakra. If you're in need of more self-love and self-compassion and understanding, then rose quartz is maybe a crystal that you would want to grab. So you can easily research the chakras and crystal associations with them. But truly, there's no correct or incorrect way to choose crystals. You just need to trust your instincts, explore, maybe research a little bit, and allow the energy of the stones to guide you. Okay. Now, when it comes to caring for crystals, it's important to remember to care for our crystals just as we care for any valuable item in our lives or any other magical tool we would use in our practice or house in our altar. So obviously, when caring for them, we want to choose our crystals carefully, cleanse them often, and keep them, and I'll talk about how to do that in a minute, and keep them in a safe, dry space, because we just want to be careful not to get our crystals wet, because not all of them can get wet. They can break down. We want to make sure we're charging them so we are giving them the power to work with us. And it's great to charge them in the moonlight or on a selenite slab for best results. It's also important to keep them in a safe place away from small hands and furry friend tails. You know, the tails. I know when I bring Reese and River, my big dogs, in here, their tails go wild and they have hit a couple crystals and knocked things off of some shelves here at my shop in my sacred space. They have plenty of times knocked tools, not just crystals, off of my altar. So it is important to keep them in a safe place, especially if you don't want anybody else touching them and any energy transferring to them. And I think it's also really important that we hold our crystals regularly so they can attune to our energy. I know I like to do this. I have crystals stashed in just about every corner of every room in my house. I'll have a little box here. I'll have some setting here, there, and all around. And I do like to revisit them. Even the ones that I don't see as often, like the ones that are in my closet, because I have a mini altar in my closet where I get dressed in the morning, and I don't hold those crystals probably as much as I should, but I do visit them every once in a while. So when we cleanse our crystals, we need to remember, just as we cleanse ourselves, our energy, our magical tools, it's important to energetically and physically cleanse our crystals to ensure they work the best that they can. So some ways to energetically cleanse them is to place them in a bowl of salt overnight and then gently brush out the salt from crevices with a soft bristled brush. We can also cleanse them by using sacred smoke to run the crystals through, just like you would do with any other magical tool you have. Light whatever smoke bundle or incense you would like, and just run the crystals through them with the intention of cleansing them and getting all negative energy out of them. You can cleanse with sound by circling your crystal with a ringing bell, or if you have singing bowls. I know some people will put their crystals inside a singing bowl and cleanse them by hitting on the bowl. And then you can also use water with a few pinches of salt to cleanse your non-porous crystals. Anything in the quartz family, you're pretty well safe to put underwater, to run underwater. But when it comes to selenite or tourmaline crystals, or in many other porous crystals, you want to be very careful. Calcite sometimes. You just want to be very careful to get them wet, because they can start to break apart. And, you know, I could talk forever about crystals, because there are many ways to cleanse. I'm just doing, again, a very brief overview of crystals and working with them in your practice. Something that many people ask about, and people come into my shop asking for, is information or actual crystal grids themselves. And what crystal grids are is, let me think how I want to word this. Crystal grids involve arranging crystals in specific patterns that helps to amplify the energies of the crystals and the energy of the intentions as well. So many people believe that combining crystals with sacred geometry enhances the overall energy and promotes specific intentions like healing, prosperity and abundance, protection, love, self-love, compassion, manifestation, growth, fertility, etc. And you can place crystals that correspond to your intention in specific patterns to help enhance that intention, as I said. You will see crystal grids in the shape of the seed of life or the flower of life. You see many crystal grids used, like Metatron's cube is often used as a crystal grid. And most grids, you have a power stone in the center, and then you have multiple stones kind of circling in patterns around that center stone. And you draw connecting lines that connect all of the crystals together and kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not enhance their energy, but activate. That's the word. Activate the energy. Each crystal's unique properties then contribute to the grid's intended purpose, and that creates that synergistic flow of energy. Again, the most common crystal grids are the flower of life, Metatron's cube, the seed of life patterns, which I know you have seen because these are sacred geometric arrangements that kind of serve as these templates for placing crystals with specific intentions. But you truly can design and make grids in any shape that you want. A nice shape is a star, a pentagram. You can have that shape, have a crystal in the center, and then have five crystals at the points, or even more, making the star shape. If you're doing something for love, maybe you're going to make a grid in the shape of a heart, or maybe abundance in the shape of a tree. You can create your grids however you see fit. There are the common grids and then ones that, again, you can create yourself. When it comes to healing, I do want to talk a little bit about crystal healing, because when it comes to using crystals in our magical practice, a lot of times we are using them to amplify a healing intention. And crystals have been used for centuries as a means of supplementing health and wellness. And crystal healing is used now and has been as an alternate therapy that involves using crystals to promote physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Because crystals emit energy and vibrations that interact with your body's energy field, they can help balance and align the energy fields. And during a crystal healing session, crystals are placed on or around your body. They can also be worn as like jewelries and amulets, or they're held by the healer, the practitioner, with the aim of facilitating healing, facilitating relaxation, a positive overall energy flow. And so when you go into a crystal healing session, you are essentially, if you go into a session, the person doing the healing is acting as kind of a channel to bring the healing energy of the crystals to you. I mean, you're actually doing the work. The way that you interact with the crystal energy helps amplify the healing for you, because these crystals are emitting the energy. The healer is helping get that energy to you, and you are working with that energy to help heal whatever you might have, imbalances, to help open up to more spiritual guidance and awareness through your third eye chakra, and the crown chakra, to work on self-compassion, like I said, self-love with your heart, to help with happiness and joy and self-confidence in your solar plexus, to help activate passion and motivation and creativity in your sacral chakra, or to help keep you grounded and focusing on family and hearth and home and stability through that root chakra. So crystal healing, like I said, has been, I think I'm going off on my little tangents now. I'm just kind of rambling, which is what happens when I get like 45 to an hour into an episode. But crystal healing has been used for, oh my gosh, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of years. And I see it being used more and more nowadays. So yeah, I'm glad we got to chat a little bit about crystal and crystal magic. I didn't really talk about your basic crystals and their meanings. I feel like I can do that on another episode if you would like, and their specific properties, specific meanings. I just wanted to go over crystal magic in general and just the basic shapes, how they're used with our intentions. And again, I can talk about the in more detail the meanings behind specific crystals later on if that's something that you would be interested in, because I do like chatting about it. So anyway, I hope this was helpful. I hope this was a good starting point for some of you who are just starting to use crystals in your practice. I have many friends and practitioners who have been practicing for, oh my gosh, decades, who only use crystals here and there. And I have other friends who crystals is a huge part of their practice. So when it comes to witchcraft, you don't have to use crystals, but you can use them to enhance your practice, just like any other tool. It's another tool. Using crystals in your magical practice is just like using another tool in your practice. And it's one that I really enjoy using and have loved learning about over the years. So I hope all of this was helpful. Now let's go into the card pull of the episode. I was going to pull from a crystal deck, but you know what? I decided, no, we've talked enough about crystals for right now. But I did want to pull from a deck that is equally fun and whimsical, I guess. And so I'm choosing my Witchlings deck and book set. I love my Witchlings deck. And I will say it has been very popular here in the shop too. A lot of people have been grabbing it because it's just, it's great. It's very whimsical. I think it's a really good deck for spring because of the use of colors that are associated with spring. It's a lot of pastel colors. So let's see what card we have today. Okay. So this week, let me flip this over. We have, Rejuvenation. Rejuvenate your mind, body, and spirit with a fresh and renewed approach to life. Oh my gosh, how perfect is this for spring, the beginning of spring? Ah, this is perfect. So let's see what rejuvenation has to say. Let me just find it here in my little book, Rejuvenation by Trillium. Trillium is the name of the witchling associated with rejuvenation. Trillium's never too busy to forget that she must recharge on occasion. Long hot baths and good night sleeps, her essentials for rejuvenation. I love the little quatrain they always have at the beginning of the card meanings. So just like batteries that need recharging, the mind, body, and spirit need recharging as well. Rejuvenating the spirit sparks a desire to experience the vibrant joy of living. Without a recharge, you'll experience burnout. You can rekindle your vitality by spring cleaning it. Take time for yourself and do things for yourself that bring you happiness and good health so that your energy will be restored. That healthy glow, freshness of thought, and lighthearted feeling can be with you every day by harmonizing yourself with rejuvenating powers. I love that. Just reminding us to take time for ourselves to rejuvenate, especially as we move into spring. I know spring comes and many of us add so much to our to-do list because we're waking up again. Just like the earth and nature is waking up again. So we're like, oh, we can do this. But sometimes that can burn us out. So I love this little reminder from Trillium of rejuvenation and the importance of sometimes settling a little bit. So let's look. I love this deck too because you are given little like mini spells that go along with each card. So let's do this foundation of rejuvenation ritual. So here's a little ritual. You will need a glass of spring water. This is an easy one. Visualize a fountain of purifying, clear, sparkling waters. Chant aloud with intent the following. Fountains of youth, waters of light, fill this mortal vessel with energy's might. Feel the waters immersing you, refreshing you, and renewing your energy. See and feel the cleansing force of this water, washing away all stress and fatigue, and exhilarating you with strength and youthful vigor. Bathe yourself in this rejuvenating fountain for as long as you feel comfortable. Then drink the water, feeling its healing vibrations flow through you as they regenerate, revitalize, and rejuvenate you thoroughly. I love that little ritual. And I love that this deck gives you those little rituals. So everyone, again, thank you for joining me for episode 54. I can't believe it'll be episode 55 next time. And I do, again, I just thank you for being here. And I want to pull up really quick a couple of special thank yous for people who have commented about the podcast. So, Witch with Red Hair, you stumbled upon the podcast a few months ago and you're really loving it, that I'm laid back and you get glimpses of real life with her fur babies and child. Yes, I didn't have any fur babies barking in the background today, but I'm sure next time, and you're finally caught up in listening. So thank you. Thank you for those kind words. KT712, you started at the very beginning and have been listening like crazy. So thank you. And for some reason, I can't go back any farther, but I should be able to next time. I don't know why it does that. So if you are enjoying the podcast, I would appreciate you liking, reviewing it, rating it on whatever platform you listen. And if you want to get in contact, you can find me at comfycozywitch.com, on Instagram at comfycozywitch, or here through the podcast, and of course, through Patreon as well. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, stay comfy, cozy, and witchy.